back in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew, and we are journeying with Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who is also the one who has come to build a church, come to be the one who would start his church, build his church the way he wants it, his way, his timing, etc. And so we're walking through this whole journey with Jesus, and it's just amazing what he's doing when he calls those men to him and they follow. That's the key to us remembering something. God called us. He chose you. You didn't choose him first. He chose you. And you said, yes, I will go. I will follow. And that whole concept of your salvation and what it means. But when we came through this, we've come to the 11th chapter of John, or Matthew, where John the Baptist is in prison. I'll just give a quick 2-minute review of what we got out of that. And then we're going to go on to some of these verses right after that. That John the Baptist, when he was in prison, this was the man who, in the womb, when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, John the Baptist leaped in her womb at the recognition of who was there in Mary. He was affirmed as he was told to be the Son of God that is born this day in the city of David, a Savior by the angels. It was said about him that when he was being baptized, God said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he said to him, "You are my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, John the Baptist was part of all this, even in the womb. Now comes the moment when John is in prison, and in prison, in the worst of worst situations, he begins to doubt. Of all people that should not have doubted, wouldn't you think that would have been him? So when he doubts, his disciples go to Jesus and tell him about this. And we looked at this clearly, that when we doubt, there is no condemnation there whatsoever. And we're going to read something pretty amazing of how Jesus responds to all of this about John. But then there's no condemnation. But he says to him something that we just need to get a hold of in our lives. And that is, when doubting and that whole thing starts to happen in our lives, we're not condemned. But what he did is he said, "Remember what I'm doing. Remember what I've done." That application to you and me in our lives. Remember what I've done in you. Remember. Let those moments be fresh in your mind, especially when you find yourself in the place of doubt, and what we can remember that he's given us. And then he goes on, and we are going to look at something here in verse 7 through 18 this morning about Jesus and what Jesus was doing. And let's start reading this. This tails off into what we're about, which we referred to last week. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Now the crowd was watching. They heard all of this. They saw this. In those days, crowds were easy to get together. They didn't have social media, but boy, the people were able to journey and be, if you've ever gone in some foreign countries where there is little transportation and that, I can remember in Haiti, you didn't need to do very much, and all of a sudden you'd have a crowd around you. It was just like so easy. But anyways, this crowd was there watching. And Jesus turns to the crowd, it says in verse 7, and wants to tell them about John. And he says, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears to hear, let him listen. To what can I compare this generation? Like they are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others, "We played a pipe for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you didn't even mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking." I'm sorry. "John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of a tax collectors and friends of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." What I want to talk to you about today is in the one another relationship, the experience of affirmation. The experience of affirmation. When we use that word to affirm, what we're looking at here briefly, we're going to see this shortly, is that Jesus takes John the Baptist as a man to the people, and he affirms him in their eyes. To affirm somebody is to be in a place publicly, to declare strongly your support, your emotional encouragement, that you are positive toward them. Now, I want you to just think about in your life, in a week's time, any conversations, we're not going to go down that road about this, but any conversations where you're hearing someone speak negatively about someone else. Now, you don't have to go very far on the news to hear that today, but that's not what this is about. This is about your experience and my experience. That we hear people talk, and sometimes you may even read on social media things people say about someone else that is negative, that is totally. John the Baptist, my word, he came, he didn't drink and do what he didn't do these things, and yet you say he has a demon? Here I am, the Son of Man, I'm the Son of God, and I ate and drank, and I've been with sinners, and you say, I have a demon? You say I am whatever, you know, a drunkard, a glutton, a friend of tax collectors and sinners? Jesus was being accused of being a drunkard and a glutton. Now, that is a common experience that you can have and I can have in our lives, where we are either accused or negatively talked about, or someone is talking about someone negatively. And we all know of situations we're in. Now, what we're going to read here today and think about is not something where you're going to go busting into the moment and try to deal with it and fix it. But the question I want you to be thinking about this morning, and I ask the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, is what kind of a person are you when it comes to bringing affirmation to someone else? What kind of a person are you when it comes to bringing affirmation to another person? You and I find ourselves influenced by people all the time. I can go and turn the news on, and certain channels, when I'm listening to certain things, I'm getting all upset. I'm getting irritated, and I want to just turn the thing off or find my station or a station that is not like that. But if that influence that people have in their words, in our relationships to people, this need to be affirmed comes from our need to realize that we are not just the dregs of the world. We are not the drunkard or the glutton, even though we may be accused of things. It's like God wants us to understand in his word here that Jesus himself wanted to say, this is not the way we're to be. We are to be what I'm going to tell you about John the Baptist. I'm going to tell you what he was, and I'm telling you who he is and what he's done. And then I'm telling you something else. I want you to know that of all that ever existed to this moment of time, he is the epitome and the one of ones. None is better. That elevated him to a place in the mind of Jesus and the words in the, that there was no one greater than John the Baptist. Now just think about that. And then he goes on to say this. But I want you all to know that the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than the one who has been the greatest. You and I, who know Christ as our Savior, are greater than John the Baptist. If the least is that way, then all of us in that are that way. That you are not, you as, even if you feel you're the least, you are the greater than the greatest. That is an amazing thing what Jesus is saying. He wants us to understand that he is affirming us in the sense of how important we are, how neat we, I don't want to use, these words don't just come right, neat, awesome, great. You know, he wants you to be positive about who you are by his words to you. There is, I did a lot of reading this week about, and some psychology writers who wrote treatises and papers on affirmation. It was pretty interesting what they read, what I read. And I saw that they most of all time talked about you being able to affirm yourself and what you need to do. And I'm not here to criticize that, but it was pretty amazing what I heard and read of them. And then in that place, what happened is I began to think about something. Jesus wants us to know something different. He wants us to be able to know his affirmation of you. How he affirms you as a person. He did this all of his ministry. Time and time again, he affirmed. We see examples. And Thomas, who doubted, did he criticize him? Did he condemn him? No, he said, here, touch me. Peter, who was in a place of fear and criticism of who Jesus was at a moment of time, saw him coming across the water and said, hey, you really who you are? If you are, and Peter gets out and starts to walk on the water. Jesus is affirming who this man Peter is at a moment of time. Now, Peter lost sight of Jesus and went down in the water, but the point of it was is he was being affirmed. He was given positive reinforcement. Think about this also. When Jesus was going to Calvary, he was beaten and he was hurt and he was criticized and he actually saw the one he loves so much say, I have nothing to do with this man, nothing whatsoever to do with him. No way am I connected to Jesus. And so what happens when Jesus meets Peter? He says, Peter, I'm going to put this around in different phrases. I want you to go meet and minister to people. You want me to do that? Do you love me? Yeah. Do it. Do it. But I'm not worthy. Do you know what I did? Jesus knew exactly what he did. Yes, I experienced what you did. But I didn't come here now to condemn you for this. I've come to affirm you. I've come to positively speak to you about that which is so essential in your life, to know that I am God and I affirm you as a person. I'm giving you affirmation. I'm giving you reinforcement that you are not the greatest failure that you thought you were. That when you went out to repent and weep and realized what you did, that you don't stay in that spot. The resurrection. They go to the grave. It's empty. What do you do? An angel gives affirmation that Jesus has been resurrected. Now, as believers, there is one affirmation that we are given by God that affirms all of us. And if you think about this, when you bring affirmation to someone, the moment you seize that and get a hold of it, it's showing that you are really, I like the word neat, but that's not a very biblical word, that you are very possibly so special, that you are strongly and publicly affirmed and supported and encouraged. That's affirmation. And what is the greatest one for all of us? Jesus came and started his church. We see he picked those disciples, and we're learning how he trained them. And then came the moment when he said this, "Now you guys go," Matthew 28, "you go and you now do this." You want an affirmation? He says, "You can do this. You've been with me, and I've been doing it. I've been preaching and teaching the kingdom, and you've seen all the things that I've done. Now, and you've done some ministry a couple times, and we've grown in all of this, and you've developed. But now I want you to know something. I want to affirm who you can be in me." And that affirmation is, you are capable of going into this world. You are the ones I'm choosing to go to the world to tell the world about me. But he doesn't just stay with those guys. He says it for everyone from that point in time on. And to all of you, you have that in you, affirmation from God. I mean, just think about that. He has chosen and picked you to be a person who can go into this world and to share him with the world. That is a positive affirmation. It's telling someone, telling us that how important we are and how strongly supported we are. And he said to them, "I am with you till the end of the age. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will stay with you till the end of the age." Affirmation. Can we do that with one another? Can you do that with people? Do you do that at all with people? We can have a tendency to be taking for granted that which we have. And we are around people that are doing many things. And you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to be bringing affirmation to others. As Jesus affirmed John the Baptist, and then he goes on to this very last line of something that is, boom, he lays it right out there. He says, "Look, you look at me like this, you look at John the Baptist like this, but I want you to know something, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds." I'm going to paraphrase it. It's called the proof of the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. Now, to understand where that came from has a bit to do with how to make pudding. And since I'm such an expert chef, I can tell you about that. I only read it. I've seen it done. But we think of that today as we get a box, open up, and put milk in, shake it, and stir it, and whatever, we got pudding. But that's not what this came from. This came from a process that was made, how pudding was made, and it was heated and put together, and it sat, and there was a runny time in it, whatever. And that process unfolded, and it became firm like pudding was supposed to be. And the proof of how good that was or how right it was the pudding that you ate. The result was right. The result was good. It was a proof that there is pudding, that is right pudding. The proof of you in this world is the awareness of the deeds that you are able to do for him. Wisdom is found in those proved right by wisdom's deeds. All the people we've read about in the scriptures who have been affirmed, even to the moment where the disciples were with Jesus in that time of the transfiguration, and God spoke again out of heaven about who Jesus was. God affirmed so often the Son, his only Son, who was God in the flesh here in this world. And in that place, God did this for him, but for the world to hear. The point is this. When you are in this world, the world has an opportunity to hear something from you. The world has the opportunity to hear affirmation. A positive response to somebody for what they have done. Go into the world now. I've chosen you to go. And when we were learning about being led by the Spirit and the wow moments of life, these are moments where we are being who he wants us to be at that moment of time. And he is giving us the Holy Spirit to do this and be this. If I say it any more different ways, it's just going to be redundant. But the point is this. When we talked, when I made the list last week of God telling us who we are in Christ, that's how you really deal with the doubt in your life. And I made this list of all the things that you are in Christ. He's telling you who you are. What he wants us to do is to love as we love one another. That the world will see that. And the world will see in the loving one another as he has loved us, affirming us with what he's given us. And we've had that whole list. But we have that privilege to love one another. And in loving one another, as he has loved us, we have a privilege to affirm one another. The privilege to positively speak to one another, about one another. It's so easy to hear speaking against one another. It's so easy to hear negativity and criticism. But we as his children can witness to a world that we are his disciples by how we love one another. And how we love one another comes out in our work, our talk, and it comes out in our actions. And so I just encourage you to think about this. The opportunities that are going to come your way this week and the weeks ahead to be a person who affirms, we need affirmation. Not myself affirming me, but we need to affirm one another. We need to be able to declare strongly and publicly the emotional support and the encouragement we have. And you do that in many, many ways. And we want to keep doing it more and more and more in our relationships. I think one of the simplest things to do in affirming someone is to be able to say thank you. It's just a positive, positive issue. To say thank you, but also to ask this other question and pay attention to this for yourself. Do you enter into those kind of conversations that are just negative, that are just gossipy, I use the word gossip, that are criticism stuff about whatever? Is that how you talk a lot? Do you connect with certain people that way in your life? And there are many of us who do that. I used to do that. And I was with Christian brothers and sisters, and we had a great time frying everybody there was. And one day God convicted me in a big time. And I was not going to do that ever again. I would not get in a place where I'm going to be with my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we begin to chop up somebody else that's in the body of Christ, no matter who they are. Whether they agree with me or not, whether they are like what I think they should be or they're not, I'm not going to do that ever again. And we have worked hard to not be like that in relationships to Christians in this world. And that's what he wants of us. And he's here today to challenge you to something. And Milt is going to come now, and he's going to have a special song to minister to us, and Michelle's going to follow up with something. He wants you to be thinking about something. You are the light in the darkness. You can come. You are the light in the darkness. You are the light of the world. And you have that privilege. What can light do? It brings a positive experience to what's dark. And a way that you can bring positive experience to darkness in your life at that moment of time with others is to be a person that knows how to affirm others, how to speak positively about others, how to encourage. And I close with this. A young lady came that's worked with Cindy for a long while, not a long, long while, but when Cindy was working. And Cindy would tell me about her and how neat she was and her name, and that she got married, and how neat her husband was, and they showed up at the sale. And I was sitting there thinking, and you know, they talked to us, they were friendly and everything. And the Lord said, tell her, I don't even know if Cindy saw this, tell her how much Cindy talked about her in positive ways. And I told her that, and it's like she went, really? You're the light in darkness to the world. Milt and Michelle?
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle and go light your world. Take your candle, go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's tried to light his own candle some other way. See now your sister, she's been robbed and lied to, still holds a candle without a flame. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the lonely, the tired and worn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your your world. Take your candle and go light your world. We are a family whose hearts are blazing, so let's raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father. In the name of Jesus, make us a beacon in darkest times. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the helpless, deceived and poor. Hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world. Carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see it. Take your candle.
Thank you, Lord.
want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, great I am, who is worthy, none beside me. God Almighty, great I am.
Have one of the most powerful tools that God has given us to be able to affirm people. Just think, we don't need to read about people having to affirm themselves if you're out there bringing affirmation to people, if you're out there encouraging people, if you're out there giving them. All you would probably do is need to spend 10 minutes with Stephanie and Dana and listen to the stories of the people who are so broken and the people who have no value or worth in this world anymore. You realize the value you bring to someone when you bring affirmation? Jesus did it he was the greatest of all who had ever been at that point in time. If he wanted to do it for John, what about us? And what about us taking that light to the world? You are light in this darkness. And thinking about that, watch for the opportunities that you're going to have this week to affirm somebody. And I close with this benediction. It's time. It's kind of an open, but it's not really a very spiritual benediction, but it's what we're going to close with. I every day stop at a place to get a cup of coffee, and I go by there because it's a senior coffee, and since I'm old, I get it cheaper. And there's a young lady that's there in the morning that hands me the coffee. Pleasant young girl. I mean, just pleasant. And she smiles, and one day I looked at her, and I said, you know, it is really neat to come here and get this from you. You are so pleasant. And she did. didn't, this is not that I'm great. She didn't know what to say. She just stared at me and went, oh, thank you, and went about her work, and I drove off. Lord, give us those chances. Yes, yes. Amen.